Come on, let's give Jesus some praise in this house today. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for another day, God. We thank you for the chance to come before you. God, in your presence today, we ask for more of you. We ask for more of you today, God. We will not be satisfied with anything less than more of your presence, than more of your glory, than more of your fire in our lives. So, God, we ask you, speak to our hearts today. Change us in your presence today, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, today is a little bit bittersweet. Come on, as we're going to be wrapping up what the Lord's been showing us these past several weeks about passivity. And I hope that it's been wrecking and reshaping your life as it has been mine. And I just want to say, if there's any shred of passivity left in you today, today's the day we're going to get it all out. We're going to get it all out. Every little piece, every little shred of it's going to be gone today. So I'm going to read a couple passages of scripture and we'll jump right back in. So let's start today in the book of Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 18. And to the angel, the divine messenger of the church in Thyatira write, "These are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes that flash like a flame of fire in righteous judgment, and whose feet are like burnished white hot bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your last deeds are more numerous and greater than the first. But I have this charge against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, claiming to be inspired, and she teaches and misleads my bondservants so they commit acts of sexual immorality and eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, to change her inner self and her sinful way of thinking, but she has no desire to repent of her immorality and refuses to do so. Listen carefully. I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and these who commit adultery with her, I will bring into great anguish unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children, her followers, with pestilence, thoroughly annihilating them. Ha! And all the churches will know without any doubt that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, the innermost thoughts and purposes, and I will give to each one of you a reward or punishment according to your deeds. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not explored and known the depths of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you except to hold tightly to what you have until I come. And he who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and he who keeps my deeds doing things that please me until the very end, to him I will give authority and power over the nations, and he shall shepherd and rule them with a rod of iron, as the earthen pots are broken in pieces, as I also have received authority and power to rule them from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear and heed what the Spirit says to the churches." Now let's look at 2 Kings chapter 9, starting in verse 30. "So when Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard about it, and she painted her eyes and adorned her head and looked down from the upper window. As Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, 'Is it well, Zimri, your master's murderer?' Then Jehu raised his face toward the window and said, 'Who is on my side? Who?' And two or three officials looked down at him, and he said, 'Throw her down.' So they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. When he came in, he ate and drank and said,
see now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she was a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found nothing left except the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. So they returned and told Jehu. Then he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spoke through his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the property of Jezreel, the dog shall eat the flesh of Jezebel. The corpse of Jezebel will be like dung on the surface of the field in the property of Jezreel. So they can't say, this is Jezebel. This is part 6 of our passive king's word. And I believe very strongly the Lord's been leading us through these past several weeks for several reasons, but mostly he wants us to get this. He wants us to overcome passivity. He wants us to finish this diligent disciple assignment well. He wants us to walk in victory over all the power of the enemy, because we can't be passive and diligent at the same time. We can't be passive and zealous at the same time. We can't be passive and submit to God and resist the enemy and take back territory and expand the kingdom and go around doing good and destroying the works of the devil. Come on, and preach the gospel and heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils at the same time. It's going to take a righteous remnant. It's going to take some zealous kings. It's going to take a church on fire to push and to pioneer revival and to make way for the King of Glory to come in right into their homes, right into their cities, right into their nation. Remember, revival never happens by accident. There has to be some people with some zeal, with some hunger, with some desperation, that will actually stand in the gap and stand on the wall and actually cry out to the God who loves them, who hears, and who responds with fire from heaven in order to birth revival. So I'm coming today with the full court press. We're leaving it all on the field today. God said he's leaving no stone unturned. I've come with such a fire in my bones today, and I pray that it ignites something on the inside of you today too. I've come to provoke you. I've come to stir you up. I've come to fan the flames on the inside today, because we've got an ark assignment to walk in. We have to carry the weighty glory of God into our city. We have to lift up the mighty name of Jesus high. Higher and higher and louder than the noise of the enemy. We have to legislate and govern in the Spirit, in the unity of the Spirit, and invite the Spirit of glory to break through and to break in like never before. Because here's the truth. We need more of Jesus. And this city needs more of Jesus. We need to be revived, and this city needs to be revived. But that can only happen when zealous kings take their rightful place and exercise their God-given authority in Jesus' name. And I believe one of the main reasons why we haven't seen many of the big nation-shaking, history-making, powerful revivals as we did in years ago is because a spirit of Ahab has deceived many of the kings in God's kingdom to be passive kings instead of zealous kings. My God, if he can make the pastors passive, They won't preach the truth. They won't preach the whole truth. And they won't preach it with some fire. They won't preach it with conviction. If he can get the husbands and the fathers to be passive, they won't lead their families to the fire. They won't lead their families to the glory. If he can get moms to be passive and not raise their kids diligently in the Lord, then a whole generation is going to be raised without knowing the power and the presence of God, just because the enemy got some people to be passive with what we should be diligent about is a scheme of the enemy. So what do? We have to renew our minds with the truth. If we can reignite our hearts with fresh fire, if we can diligently apply what we know to do, we will position ourselves for the next great move of God. Because God already promised he would do it. He already said he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. And God's not a respecter of persons. So if he did it there, why can't he do it here? And if he did it with them, why can't he do it with us? And I came to remind some revivalists today, at the tail end of this year, it's not a matter of if, but when he's going to do it. We just have to keep going until. You see, until is revival language. Until. Until has a baked-in resolve. Until has a never-give-up attitude. Until has been baptized with zeal that will do whatever it takes for as long as it takes, because we love Jesus that much more and nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And that means nothing else will distract us. Nothing else matters. So that means nothing else will satisfy us. We have to go for the more. We can't settle and we can't stop short. But if we can catch a fresh revelation of until. I said, if we can catch a fresh revelation of until today, it will help us to get to the next level. Like the 120, we have to keep praying in the upper room until the fire comes down. Like Elijah, we have to go and keep checking the horizon until we see the cloud form. Like the two sisters and the preacher in Hebrides, we have to keep crying out for God to move in our town, in our city, in our generation, until he falls on the dance halls, until he falls on the bars in the middle of the night. Just like the people at Brownsville, we got to keep asking and seeking and knocking for God to move until he sends another mighty rush wind and breathe new life into this nation again. But again, someone has to be willing to go until it happens. Someone has to be willing to pay the price in prayer until the power falls. That's why the Lord always reserves a remnant. A smaller group who has a larger zeal. The fiery ones with a persistent passion to partner with God to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why it's been so imperative that we come up under the mantle of a diligent disciple. Because only the diligent ones will keep going when it gets hard.
That's right.
I promise you already preached this word today. Only the zealous ones will keep pushing even when they're not feeling it. Even when they had a rough week. Even when everything in their life seems like it's upside down, seems like it's backwards, seems like it's all twisted up in knots. I have a theory as to why the devil keeps on trying to make you feel like you've had such a hard week, or why you feel so tired, or why you feel so discouraged. It's really simple, because historically it works. That's why he keeps doing it. Because it works. Or more to the point today, because we allow it to work. We permit the little pebbles in our shoes to distract us to the point of taking us out. We tolerate the lies from the enemy long enough to let it quench the fire just enough so we don't take the next step. Come on, he doesn't have to take you out totally. Just enough that you don't take the next step. That's fine. Okay, I can't actually get this person to turn 100% away from God. I'm never going to get them to do that. So what can I do? What can I do? I can discourage them just enough that they miss the next thing, that they miss the next threshold, that they miss going for the more, and then they just stay there. That's what he'll try to do. And if we tolerate it, he will. And then what happens? We start to slip back into a bad mood. Then what? We start following our feelings down instead of taking authority over our feelings and making them be subject to what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that you have self-control. It says that you have authority over your mind, will, and emotions. And you can tell your body what to do. You can tell your mind what to think. You can redirect your feelings to come into alignment with the truth. So I came to exhort us again today. Yes. Don't allow it. Don't permit it. Yes. Don't tolerate it. You have self-control, but you gotta use it. You have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're still gonna have to declare it. You have the power to trample on scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, but you have to get to trampling. You got to start trampling. Now look, I'm just going to pause here because it just kind of stuck out at me. If you go back and watch when Jehu finally took out Jezebel and stopped her evil reign, he never once spoke to her. He tolerated her like so nothing. He literally didn't even talk to her at all. He goes right up to the thing. She talks to him, ignores her. Who's on my side? Oh, there she is. Yeah, throw her down. Yeah, I'm not even dealing with you. Throw her down right now. Great, thank you. Come on, I got an enemy that's got to get trampled under feet. I ain't got time to talk to you. I don't got time to mess with you. Throw her down and start trampling her underfoot. You got to walk it out. Got to start trampling something. And we see from the contrast between King Ahab and King Jehu, there's only two options for us. No matter what your specific enemy is that you're up against, in this example, it's Jezebel. But it's the same principle regardless. You can either tolerate the enemy, or you can cast it down and trample it underfoot. That's it. That's the end. Thank you. Have a nice day. I'm just kidding. But that's it. You can tolerate the enemy, or you can cast it down and put it under your feet. And that's the difference right there between passive kings and zealous kings. passive kings tolerate the enemy. And then they do what? They make covenant with the enemy. Then what? They start to be influenced by the enemy. And then what's the end result? They start participating with and partnering with the enemy to work against God and against the people of God. That's how it goes. But zealous kings have no tolerance for the enemy, because they've already made covenant with God. They don't give the devil an inch. So they're only under the influence of the Holy Ghost. And they make it their life mission to be just like Jesus and to participate and partner with God to go around doing good and destroying the works of the devil. Zealous kings love what God loves and hate what God hates. They live to see the kingdom of God advance. They live to see prisoners set free. It's their great joy to see people who were once like them, bound up in sin, but then set free by the power of the blood of Jesus. They love to see Jesus high and lifted up. They love when Jesus gets the glory. They love when hell gets depopulated and heaven gets more and more populated. Zealous kings live to see their families revived. Their deep desire is to see their city set on fire by the power of God. They want to see their nation turn back to the one true God and walk in full freedom. And part of that mission is seeing the darkness crushed and pushed out. And part of that is seeking and seeing the light break in and the glory pour out in greater measure. It's both. Come on. We got to stay balanced. It's not one or the other. It's not just, oh, we're going to go talking and go demon hunting and try to do all this stuff over here and leave out God. But on the other hand, you can't only be about God and forget that you even have an enemy and be ignorant of his schemes. There has to be a balance. And that means there's always repentance as part of revival. Always repentance. That means a turning away. That means changing your heart, changing your mind, and then going and doing the opposite. Come back to God. Or maybe it's even more correctly, the precursor to revival, repentance. People have to turn away from the devil and towards God. They have to reject sin and embrace righteousness. Come on, it's both. They have to divorce themselves from the world and covenant themselves to the Lord God Almighty. And in the time of Ahab and Jezebel, the Lord raised up a zealous prophet and a zealous king to cleanse the nation of idolatry and witchcraft and turn them back to their first love. God raised up an Elijah and a Jehu to be his mighty instruments to break the stronghold of idolatry and turn the hearts of the people back to God. Elijah took out the false prophets of Baal who sat at Jezebel's table, and Jehu took out Jezebel herself and all the house of Ahab. I always found that interesting. It was the prophet that took out the prophets and the king that took out the kingdom. Look at 2 Kings 10, starting in verse 15. Now when Jehu departed from there, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he greeted him and said to him, "Is your heart right, as my heart is towards your heart?" And Jehonadab answered, "It is." So Jehu said, "If it is, give me your hand." So he gave him his hand, and he took him up to meet him in the chariot. Then he said,
come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they had him ride in his chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he killed all, say all who remained to Ahab in Samaria until he had destroyed them according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to Elijah. I love it. Come and see my zeal for the Lord. Come and see it. Whoo! I got so much zeal, it's obvious. I got so much zeal, it's undeniable. I got so much zeal, you ain't seen nothing yet. Watch my zeal for the Lord. That's what zealous kings do. They pull people up higher with their zeal. Get up here. Watch this. Come up here. They compel other people to follow them in serving the Lord with their zeal. You see it everywhere that Jehu went. Jehu didn't just serve the Lord himself. He was always inviting and most of the times commanding other people to follow him as he followed the Lord. 2 Kings 9:17. Now a watchman stood at the tower and he saw the company of Jehu as he came and said, I see a company of men. So Joram said, get a horseman and send him to meet him and let him say, is it peace? So the horseman went to meet him and said, thus says the king, is it peace? And Jehu said, what have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me. So the watchman reported, saying, the messenger went to them, but isn't coming back. Then he sent out a second horseman who came to them and said, thus says the king, is it peace? And Jehu answered, what have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me. The Lord's looking for some zealous kings who are tired of all of the mixture, tired of all of the religion, tired of all of the games, who won't make peace treaties with the enemy. Zealous kings don't negotiate with the devil. Zealous kings don't tolerate false peace in order to make religion more comfortable. Oh, they're like another zealous king named David, who made it his life mission to root out anything and everything that got in the way of God having his way. Yes. Look what he said in Psalm 101:8. He said, my daily task will be to ferret out the wicked and free the city of the Lord from their grip. My daily task. Some translations say every morning. It's not a one-time event. It's a lifelong mission. Every day, it's continual. It's consistent. It's thorough. It's the same principle for us in the spirit. We make it our daily task to root out any place of wickedness in us so that we can embrace more freedom. We make it our daily task to bring light into the darkness and help set other people free too. Whatever the wickedness is that's standing in their way, whatever lie that the enemy has been feeding people to keep them blinded and bound, we combat that by speaking the truth in love. We overcome evil with good. But passive kings don't obey the Lord by taking out the enemy. They allow the enemy to remain alive, like King Saul did. Well, I took out everyone, well, except for the king. I let the king live. I know I'm supposed to take out everyone, technically, but, I mean, it's just the king. I mean, he's got no king, he's got no people anymore. What's the point? Point was God said to, that's the point. That's it. God said it, do it. He didn't do it. He let him live. I don't take out the enemy 100%. I'm going to leave 2% of the enemy right here. That's right. That's right. That's what he did. Or passive kings will literally marry the enemy and commit spiritual adultery with her, just like King Ahab. But zealous kings are a different breed altogether. They have such a fiery zeal for the Lord. He's the only one that matters. Everything else has to fade away. Any other idol has to be cast down. And every other lover has to be renounced and left for good. 100%. King David made it his daily task to totally take out the enemy. King Jehu made it his immediate mission to totally take out the enemy. It said all, every last one. If you go and read the passages with Jehu, it reemphasizes it every time. He's taking out the king's sons. Don't let one of them escape. He's going to get the Baal worshipers later. Don't let a single one of them escape. Totally, completely taken out. King Josiah made it his life mission to tear down every single false altar of idolatry and replace it with true worship to the one true God. Come on, that's an awakening. That's revival. And that's a great example to follow. That's a good example to imitate. Because it's not just what they did. It's how they did it. They were marked by zeal. They were marked by passion. They were marked by a fiery devotion to God. Come and see my zeal. But the real example that we have to follow, the ultimate zealous king for us to imitate, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The one who stirs up his zeal like a warrior. The one who literally wears zeal as his cloak. The one who said, "Zeal for your house consumes me." The one who was so zealous for God, it was his life mission to only be about the Father's business and completely fulfill his Father's will. When you read your Bible, you see that Jesus was so full of zeal for God, he would rather feast on God's word than turn stones into bread. I love him so much more. I know I could do that, but I won't do that because that's nothing to me compared to him. That's zeal. Jesus was so full of zeal, he wasn't bothered by physical food, but his food was to do the will of the one who sent him. And as long as he was obedient to his Father, he was satisfied. As long as he did his Father's will, that was more than enough for Jesus. Come on, we're going to wrap this whole year up today. Jesus was always quick to listen and quick to obey the Father because his fiery zeal compelled him to partner and push the word through until there was breakthrough. Jesus' motives were pure and he was convinced of all that God would do in the earth. He saw that the greatest need was for God's presence to break into people's lives, and he was willing to do something about it with his entire life. Jesus was eager to birth it, to perfectly walk it out, and he had the greatest resolve for perpetual Pentecost to be present on this planet. So Jesus did the unthinkable. He became the ultimate diligent disciple so he could become the ultimate zealous king. And that's how he can command us all to do the same. Philippians 2:5, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Come on, somebody give God praise in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because only diligent disciples can become zealous kings. Because it takes that kind of deep love and passion for God to override your fear and your flesh. It takes a furious focus to fix your eyes on God and not turn aside to the right or to the left. It takes a fiery zeal to only do what God says and only speak what God says, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it costs you, no matter what it feels like, no matter if none go with you, but to still lay down your life to such a degree that you live to the point, oh, that you only want to please God, that you only want other people to come and to give God glory to. You have to have a special kind of zeal to intercede for people who don't know God or have even walked away from God. But to still lift them up in prayer and call them back home anyway. It takes a God-given zeal to bless those who persecute you. To still call those who betray you friend, to be willing to look like a fool in the eyes of the world so that you could be found wise in the eyes of your God. It takes a fierce and fiery zeal to stand in the gap and pray for revival to break out in your city, to be a forerunner on the front lines, to be seen as way out there. Like John the Baptist, the one crying out in the wilderness, but to still do it anyway, to still call people to repent and prepare the way for the King. But that is the calling. That is the commission, to do the same things that Jesus did until the power falls, until the breakthrough comes, until revival breaks out, until the prodigals come home, until the harvest overflows the barn, until the glory fills the house, until the earth looks just like heaven, until King Jesus comes back again. But the only way that we walk in that is when we have rooted out passivity early and often. Every morning. Woo. My daily task. Where we take back every place where the enemy's been squatting in our lives. Where we kill whatever has been killing our zeal for more of God. Where we stop tolerating any enemy. Cast her down. Trample her underfoot. Because the King is coming and we gotta get ready. We are a remnant. who is making themselves ready like David. We're going to be all about living in the presence of the Lord like Jehu. We're going to be all about completely taking out the enemy in the spirit like Josiah. We're going to be all about completely cleansing every area of our lives, every area in our families, every area in our nation, from every place of sin, every place of idolatry, every place of wickedness, and every place of witchcraft. And like King Jesus, we're going to be all about doing good and destroying the works of the devil. We're all going to be about seeking and saving the lost. We're going to be all about healing the sick, raising the dead, and casting out devils. We're going to be all about seeing people set free from bondage and addiction. We're going to be all about seeing people walk in full freedom, being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. So today we're going to come to this altar, and one more time, lay down any place of passivity or any other sin. But I'm going to say passivity. Any place of passivity that's hindering us from being diligent disciples and zealous kings. And then we're going to recommit to walking in that double mantle moving forward. It's time to imitate God. It's time to walk like Jesus. It's time to put it into action. So I say right now, don't wait another minute. Run to this altar right now, and we're going to seal some things in the spirit today in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we come boldly before your throne of grace today. We come boldly before your throne of grace today. We thank you, Jesus, for making the way. We thank you, Jesus, for making the way so that we can come near, so that we can come close. And we repent of any place of tolerating the enemy. We repent of any area where we have permitted the enemy to live, to dwell, to influence, to speak lies over us in the name of Jesus. We break every tie right now to passivity and tolerating the enemy, and we take authority over it in the mighty name of Jesus. We take authority over every lie, over every distraction, over every passivity that's been trying to stop us short, that's been trying to stop us short of crossing that finish line, that's trying to stop us from taking the next step, that's trying to stop us from going to the next level, that's trying to stop us from completing the assignment, from being diligent, from being zealous for you. So we repent right now in the name of Jesus for any place. We tie it to the altar firmly. We turn our eyes back to you. We turn our hearts back to you. We fix our eyes on you, Jesus. We fix our mind on you, God. We think about what you think. Our heart will be your heart. We will have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Kete beshekeyaka. Whoo, rabashekete basha. Today we take back the authority. We take back the authority. Harabashe. We take back the authority of being kings in your kingdom. We take back the authority. Katabashe kete. In our own lives. We take back our own authority in our families. Shakatabashe kete. We draw the line and we say no more. No more tolerating. No more tolerating. Like I said, it may not be Jezebel, but if it is, you know what to do. Cast her down and trample her underfoot in the name of Jesus. Ooh. Father, we cast down every high and exalted thing. We cast down any other idol. We cast down any other level that's stealing our love and affection for you, that's stealing our zeal, that's killing, taking the next step. Karabashe, any false place where we've tried to find satisfaction apart from your presence, that place restore, God. That place heal. That place deliver. That place set free. That place make whole. That place we speak the shalom of God right now. We say nothing missing, nothing lacking. I say, purge from passivity in the mighty name of Jesus. Passivity is not your inheritance. Passivity is not your birthright. Passivity, passivity is not gonna be your portion in the name of Jesus. So we say to every place that has been, past tense, has been, we speak zeal. Come on, you got to use your own mouth. You got to declare some stuff. I speak zeal. I speak passion. I speak fire over the things of God. I speak zeal. I speak fire. I speak passion over the things of God. Come on. It's time to strengthen what remains. It's time to strengthen what remains. Come on. It's time to fan the flame on the inside again. It's time. Katabashe. There's a fresh wind. There's a fresh wind. There's a fresh wind of the Spirit that's blowing through, that's bringing a reviving, that's bringing a refreshing. Ketabashakataba. To everyone who has made that commitment, to everyone who has drawn that line in the sand, I say in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for the refreshing. I thank you for the renewing. I thank you for making all things new today in your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus, we take hold of the diligent disciple mantle and we wear it daily. We wear it every day. We wear it, Karabasheke, tightly around us, God. Tightly around us, God. Diligent disciples. Diligent disciples. And we lay hold of the mantle, Katabasheke, of a zealous king. Of a zealous king. Zealous for you. Zealous for your heart. Zealous for your ways. Zealous for your glory. Katabasheke. Let us be a people who are zealous for the glory of our king. Let us be a people who are zealous to see you move, to hear you speak. We will not be satisfied, God, with just words, but no demonstrations of your power. So we say, God, come and get your glory. God, come and do what only you can do. God, move in our hearts, move in our lives, touch our minds, heal our hearts, heal our bodies. Set things right, set things right. Because there's a city right outside this door that needs to be revived too. And they need some Jehus who will grab them by the hand and say, come up here. Come up higher. Come up here. Come up higher and see my zeal for the Lord and see what's real and see what's actually power and see what's real fire and see the fiery passion that God has for you. Shake it, Basha. So we speak to the zeal again on the inside. And I say whatever level it's at, it's coming up. It's coming up higher. It's coming up hotter. It's coming up more fiery in the name of Jesus. Come on. If they were that zealous in the Old Testament, how much more? How much more should God's people who are filled with His Spirit, filled with His fire,
be zealous for the things of God. So I say increase in the name of Jesus. I say increase over this house. Increase zeal. Increase zeal. Increase fire in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, until it consumes you. Until it consumes you. Until it consumes every part of you, until it eats you up from the inside out, that nothing else matters, that nothing else matters but His glory, nothing else matters but His presence, nothing else matters but His will, nothing else matters but His glory, nothing else matters but His name and His renown. Katabasheke. Shekete. Go on, stir up your zeal. Go on, stir up your zeal. Come on, you got to start walking it out in here. You got to start trampling some stuff in here. You got to start marching to the beat of a new drum in here. Come on, you march to the beat of zeal. You march to the beat of zeal. Come on, there's a new song in the spirit. It's a song of zeal. It's a song of zeal. It's a song of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Yekete. Come on, if that's you, if you're determined you're going to finish this race, you're going to finish this assignment, you're going to complete this thing running, come on. You're not going to fall at the end. Come on, I extend a hand and I say, come up here. Come up higher. You're going to finish. You're going to see it through. You're going to make it to the end in the name of Jesus. So if that's you, I'm going to ask you to come to the very front. I'm just going to pray, and I'm just going to pray that the Lord seals this in the spirit today. Diligent disciple and zealous kings in the name of Jesus.